Good morning, church. Our reading this morning is taken from Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Nehemiah's prayer. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even then, if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from here and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. Amen.
Morning, everybody. As Paul shared already, so this morning we're beginning a short series on the book of Nehemiah. And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks picking it up. I've just called today, well, I've sort of put the title of the Nehemiah Diaries for these next three, but that's not an official, that's just what I've come out with. So week one, which is today, we're going to be focusing on the fact that Nehemiah was a man of prayer and action. A man of prayer and action. Now, I would assume all of us here were a child at one point or other. I assume. And some of us have had the privilege of being parents. When our eldest, who is now 32, was five, sort of long, he used to like to help. Not so much now, but he used to like to help. Now, when Sharon and I were first married, she would often get up and head off to Tesco's early on a Saturday morning. In Hemel Hempstead, the Tesco's would open at 6. And she would be out the door to be in Tesco's for just, 20 past 6, something like that. If 6 o'clock was, she would get there for 6 if she could. She would get there really early because it meant she could get round and get it all done and be back and get it unpacked, ready for the rest of the day, because she liked to get things done. And that worked really well because it meant I stayed in bed. Things have changed. when it goes shopping. I tend to go to shopping now, but that's partly because I like to control and, I'll go, dear, it's all right. The only thing is that she says, we always have the same things. I don't know if that's like you or in your household, but that's what she says. Can we have something different? Can we have other fruit than oranges and apples and bananas? So occasionally I verify a little bit. But anyway, so she used to go off really early shopping. And our son, Daniel, sometimes she would hear this voice, where are you going? But he didn't sound like that. But it's, so he would say, where are you going? And she would, and her shoulders would go, oh. Because you're thinking, oh no. Lovely. Well, I'm going shopping, dear. Can I come? Okay. And then that 45-minute shop would end up being an hour and a half because he would be looking around, oh, can we get this maybe? And then he'd be talking to people because Daniel liked to talk. But it was just like, oh. So that was Sharon. When Esther was younger, she liked to help as well, which was great. The only thing was that often when she was looking to help, it would be jobs that I'm thinking, right, I want to get this done. I'm going to do this, and I've got this amount of time, I can get on with it. And then she would say, oh, can I help? And you're just thinking, yeah, that's lovely. But you knew that would mean that that job that you would have potentially knocked off very quickly would have just takes a lot longer. She used to help gardening. She used to like to help me do digging, washing the car. That was my pet. Oh, okay, you can. Because children drop things, pick them up and just carry on. And it's like, the sponge has been on the floor. And now it's going up and down the side of my car. Scratches. But it was, you know, it was great that she wanted to help. And I am blessed because, you know, they did help and they still want to help occasionally now. But if we look in the Bible, there are many. Oh, look, actually, I've missed a picture there. So there's a picture. Sharon shop. Well, it's not Sharon, but somebody who's been shopping in a number of places. And then some people, children helping with that. If we look in the Bible, there are many times when God could have done the job himself. But he allowed us to play a part with him. In fact, like any good father, he revels in it when we ask to help him. When God has a need in the world, he lays his hand on particular people or a particular person to meet that need. Sometimes, if we don't do what he asks, he will raise up someone else to do it. Years before, when he called Esther to go before the king and save her people from whole slaughter, he told her someone would do it if she didn't. But sometimes there is no one else to raise up to do your job. God cannot be a good husband, wife, or parent, or pastor, or citizen for you or me. There are some things that we have to step up and do. The simple and sad truth is that unless we do them, some things will not get done. It's been said, without us, God will not, and without God, we cannot. A sad example is world hunger. There is enough food on our planet to feed everyone. But 12,000 people every day die from disease related to malnutrition because we do not get the food out. The book of Nehemiah shows us how to work with God with something he wants done and it is achieved. As we read the opening verses, we discover the problems confronted. God's great need in 446 BC was to restore and revive the community living in Judah. The land was in ruins. The walls of the city were a pile of rubbish. The gates had been burnt. The people were looked down on by their neighbors. Yet God chooses several people to see Jerusalem rebuilt. Because we're looking at Nehemiah in this series, but there were others. God had used a scholar, a teacher named Ezra, a prophet to the discouraged and half committed, named Malachi. And we discover over the next few weeks a layman named Nehemiah. His task was to lead in the rebuilding the wall and to serve as governor. So the problem was confronted. He was in front of him. His brother said, oh, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Nehemiah, bit of an overlooked man. But he was qualified for the role. Nehemiah had risen to the highest of positions, that of cupbearer to the king, protecting the king from enemies, and being part of the royal court took intelligence and physical presence, integrity and courage. All these were enlisted by the Lord. All skills given to him. And maybe you could think, well, I've got some of those skills. God's given them to you to use. Just because you might think, well, actually, all I do is that I'm in Tesco's working with some stuff. That's God may put you there. Maybe you're in a high-flying business. You're a director of a company. God's put you there. And if you are a high-flying director, I don't know, because I don't know everybody's job, but if you are, you have a responsibility to act well. If you are in any leadership role in work, you have a responsibility to act well, to treat people well. And even if you're not in the management, you're just one of the people, you still have a responsibility to act well and treat people with respect. It could be, as I've said, that Nehemiah is actually one of the most overlooked people in the history of the Old Testament. Like Moses, he gave up wealth, position, many comforts to identify with the people of God, as well as go up against the most powerful ruler on earth. Almost single-handedly, he gathered the materials, made the plans, enlisted the workers, supervised this construction of the walls, and he did it in the face of extreme opposition, which we're going to pick up next week. Are you, am I, willing to work for God with little or no recognition from others? Do we do right because it is the right thing to do, or because we want the applause of the crowd? Despite all that has gone on before him, Nehemiah was concerned. In fact, he was brokenhearted. He was brokenhearted by the news. Judah, and he wept and fasted. He did not ask about, what's going on in terms of real estate adventures? What's going on for the people? Are they enjoying themselves? He hears what's going on and he weeps. He gets involved in what concerns him. The last few weeks, I know people in our country have wept and have been really concerned by what is going on in the world, by how people are being treated. And people have come together and prayed and fasted because it is a serious thing. We want to see peace in Ukraine. But we need leaders to respect one another. As I said, Nehemiah was brokenhearted, but it caused him to get involved because he was concerned. I have a niece called Emily. She doesn't know I'm sharing this, but I'm going to share it. The photo's her at the back with her son Hezekiah and her husband Matthew. And they are working with the Church Mission Society in Africa. And out of concern, they are serving God. Emily has always had a heart for people in Africa. She has been out on numerous mission trips. She's been out for a year and she's done things like that. And they've gone out as a family because Matthew too has a heart. And they have gone with their baby to serve God. Because they are concerned about people. She is a clinical psychologist. And she trained. And the reason she trained is because she wanted to be able to use a skill to bless people. And I am, just thinking about it now makes me, because she's doing what God is calling her to do. She's come away from earning money. And she's giving God her best because she is concerned for what people are doing. So she is supporting women who have been dealt awful situations to help them deal with tragedy, abuse. So out of concern, she is doing what God is calling her to do. She wants to use her skills to bless those in other places. In our last Alpha course, one of the sessions features a lady called Jackie Pullinger. And in it, she shared about how God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet, rather than hard hearts and soft feet. And going back to my niece, I know both her and her husband, Matthew, seek to have soft hearts and hard feet. And they seek to do so serving God out of a concern for others. If we look back at Nehemiah, we see that this concern raises him to pray. Verses 4 to 10. 11. Concern drove him to his knees and prayer filled his life. Praying was as natural to Nehemiah as breathing. I once heard a phrase at the funeral which I'm always reminded of about an older lady. And this particular lady was known for praying, and her family sometimes referred it as this: she was traveling on her knees. She was traveling on her knees. Meaning she was actively praying for situations around the world. How often do we travel on our knees? Nehemiah fell to his knees. As we consider Nehemiah today, we can believe that on hearing the news of his people, he travelled on his knees back to Jerusalem over his concern for what was happening. And this book reveals about Nehemiah's attitude to prayer. It begins and ends in prayer, both at the beginning and in chapter 13. It includes 12 prayers, including 10 arrow-like prayers of the moment that went straight to the heart of God. He obeyed a New Testament teaching, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Be joyous always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing." Never stop praying. Concern drove him to his knees in prayer, and his prayer stood him on his feet with a job to do for God. Read his diary, and you will want to take a nap. He prays for 4 months. He goes before the king. He travels to Jerusalem. He inspects the walls. He enlists the workers. He faces the enemies. He rebukes the wealthy. He stations guards. He causes, he sees that a census is taken. He serves as a governor for 12 years. When he reforms are being undermined, he returns the 900 miles to clean house spiritually. The only place success comes from before work is in the dictionary. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. I want you to read that passage when you get home. Read that prayer. As we said, when we met together as a month, in a month of prayer, we prayed first acknowledging who God was. And that's what Nehemiah does. He acknowledges who God is. He then confesses not only his, but the people. And he says, "Lord, I want, if I'm going to go before the king, I need to go with you. You need to be the person." Though he served the king and knew where that, you know, he was like in charge, Nehemiah knew somebody who was over that. We have people who are in charge of our country. We have people who are in charge of other countries, but we have a God who is in charge of them. And though at times we may go, "What is happening?" We have to trust in our high king. We also need to recognize that when we pray, like my niece, she didn't just say, "God, I'll pray for those people who are struggling." She said, "And if you and use me. A bit like Isaiah, isn't it? When he says, when God says, "Who shall I send? Send me." I'm very good at praying, but not so many good at volunteering. You see, we might be on our knees in prayer, but are we willing to go with God? Because otherwise, then why bother praying at all? We might as well kneel down and worship gods of stone to offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. If we're going to pray, we've got to make ourselves available and say, "God, if you want me to do something, direct me." This is what Nehemiah does. He goes, "I see this. I have concern." But he went further. He said, "So therefore, use me. What do you want me to do? How can I help? What's our takeaway?" Well, for each of us, it could be different. I had a sign when I was in my previous church that was on the wall that had problem. And then it had the arrows going off and different things. Like I had Sharon, I had colleagues, I had the Bible, friends, and I had God. If we're facing a problem, we need to potentially go to God first. We need to go to God first. So often, we can try and work through that problem ourselves. I'm very good at doing that. Okay, I'm not trying to, this is not a sexist thing, but I believe that men are very good at that. If a problem's there, they want to go, "I want to solve that problem." I've got male friends who are just like that. They're not Christians, but they recognize that if there's a problem with their family, they're the one, it's their responsibility to resolve it. And in some ways, yeah, I can understand that. Because as a parent, as a man, I want to help. If my wife or my children are struggling, I want to help. I want to resolve it. And sometimes, if you look in the marriage courses, because I've done a couple of these now, I haven't quite got it right yet, but sometimes I have to recognize that my wife doesn't want me to resolve the problem. She just wants me to listen. But actually, what I also need to recognize is that, and I want my friends who aren't Christian to recognize, is actually, we have to give control to God. Some of us are living life without God. And if that's you, I want to say, do you know what? That's okay for you. But I think it's something even better is living life with God in control. I really do. Because I can't solve every problem, but God can. Nehemiah knew that God was the one who was going to solve this problem. So he went to God. And you might go, well, my problem is insignificant. Not to God, because he loves us. Because each one of us is a child of God. Even those of us who don't yet know him, he loves us. And if you don't know him, I would encourage you to try him out. Because he's inviting us to try him out. Because he's wonderful. He is amazing. And I know, because I know him. And even though I mess up, I know he's still for me. He's still for me. So all I want to leave you with the takeaway is today is, where do you go when you have a problem? Where do you go when you have a problem? Because if you're not going to God, I want to encourage you to go to God. Because he is bigger than any problem. He is in the process of restoration. Thank you. We had the Lent course started last week, and there was this question about, are you going to recharge or be restored? And somebody shared a really good thing. That actually, yeah, we can recharge. But actually, when you are being restored, it is somebody doing it to you. And I pray that as we think about this city, Jerusalem, being restored, its city's being restored, that's because God was doing it by using people. But that was down to God. In man's, may not have happened, but it happened in 50 odd days. Because God brought the people together and they unified and did it. I'm going to end by encouraging us all to step forwards on our knees in prayer. We've done that for this last month, and we will continue to be on our knees because we want to be doing what God wants us to be doing. We want to go God's direction because we want to honor him as a community of believers, as individuals. Lord, we thank you that you are the great problem solver. That we might think we know best, but you do know best. And I pray now that we would become people, not just of action, but not just of prayer. Lord, I pray that perhaps we would take the example of my niece and we would, as we pray, also be open to being sent. Even if it's just down to Tesco's to talk to somebody. Lord God, we pray for our world, for all the turmoil. And Lord, I'm just me. But you are you. And therefore together, we can make a difference. So Lord, as a church, we say, have your way.